Like
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome back to the Mod State Podcast here on the Midweek Wrap. So, changing things up a little bit. John is a bit under the weather. He would hate me to say that, but everyone, it happens. It's a bad flu season, so if you're out there, please stay home when you're sick. But either way, I have a special guest here today. What's the best way to introduce you? I would say freelance writer, blogger, activist.
I've held a sign from now and then.
Every now and then you've held a sign. But this is Sarah Goodlaxon.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello. Well, I've got my my coffee here. And as we don't normally do podcasts at 7:30 in the morning. And that makes me seem like a lazy piece of shit because...
But when we do, we have a canteen full of coffee.
So... We're sort of coming off the, well, you know what, we'll go ahead and get some of these pleasantries out of the way. This is the Mod State Podcast, so if you like more or would like more of this, please go to modstate.com, and you can find all the op-ed and opinion pieces, as well as links to the podcast, links to our social media. If you're on your mobile device, log on, scroll all the way down to the bottom for the links to the podcast, and just like regular set on your laptop, go ahead and find the social media sites at the top. Enough. Let's get into this. Well, we are maybe a day late and a dollar short talking about this, but I think you may disagree with me on that because it is a movement, an emerging movement. But we were present at the Women's March here in Denver on Saturday. And I wanted to give you the opportunity to discuss that and what it was, why it will continue to be a movement, and it's not just some fleeting thing. This you know, we can look back on lots of movements like Occupy Wall Street, where you just, I don't know, maybe lose the momentum a little bit, or it was a thing. But this would be what, the second year?
Second annual. Yep.
And it doesn't appear that there will be a any halting. There will be a third annual. So there will not be.
There will not be any halting of what we are doing.
How dare I say that? I have to be careful on on how I say things today on this podcast. But I think my question for you is what, you know, obviously, I think it was Donald Trump put out a tweet and he was encouraging.
He tweets?
Believe it or not.
What? Oh, wow.
So our activist, freelance writer, Sarah, apparently does not have Twitter.
I indeed do have Twitter, and okay. I do follow Donald Trump. And one of the things I do for my job is social media management, so.
So you do know what Twitter is?
I do.
Okay. Well, one thing that Donald Trump put out there into the Twitter sphere was an encouragement for women to get out there and have a fantastic Women's Day.
Yes, he did.
And that was enough, right? That was some positive encouragement for women to get out there.
It was not encouragement.
It was not encouragement.
It was a backhanded encouragement.
So that backhanded encouragement, I think, was not met on deaf ears. I believe there was some.
We were in a little spot getting brunch the moment that the tweet was sent out, and the moment I read it, I knew it was not sincere. So
what? there were a couple politicians and that I try to remember had said something along the lines of "Who wants to tell him?"
He knew exactly what he was doing when he sent that tweet. And for some reason, I cannot find it on his Twitter at the moment. That's what I'm doing over here.
Oh, I was wondering.
Scrolling through his Twitter, yeah.
Wonder what you were doing over there.
I can't find it.
That's okay. We basically know what it said. So, but I guess my question for you is this women's movement, it's obviously been this, it's been a long time coming.
Yes.
And just like the, well, I don't want to necessarily say Me Too, but the sexual assault that's sort of been.
It was also part of the, you know, the signs of the march. So.
So the, I guess, with the, you know, sexual assault awakening, the Me Too, we have the birth, and I guess it was probably before this, we have the birth of this movement that has greater momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think in 2017 and 2018, we're seeing this momentum with women. And I mean that in as a very positive thing, but obviously sexual assault is not positive, but it can be used, the awareness can be used, yes, for a positive.
Sexual assault coming to light and our, as they say, culture of rape, that is positive. It coming to light.
It coming to light.
Yes.
And in context of the women's, yes, movement. So what did, I mean, I had my perspective, but that's not, it's not really the point. I say what.
This is still important though.
For support. What, yes, what about that movement? I mean, just tell me about the Denver, for those who were not there.
Well, final numbers do come down to 50,000 people in attendance in Denver. It's the second, only the second rally I've ever been to. Oh no, third. I did attend a rally when Donald Trump announced that transgender individuals would not be allowed to be in our military anymore. And then the second one, we both attended together, and that was one against white supremacy. And it was a lot smaller. That one was also at the Denver Capitol. I got to experience heckling for the first time. That was very interesting. And this one is very near and dear to my heart. I am obviously a woman. There were more people there than I've ever seen. I've never been in one place with so many people at one time for one reason other than New York City, but we were not gathered in Times Square for a cause at the moment. There were signs for, you know, a lot of different causes. And I've seen some criticism online since then saying that if you guys don't get your act together and organize, your movement's going to mean nothing because you're going too many different directions at the same time. Well, that's not true. We made signs for, again, gender equality. There were a lot of signs that were saying, I can't believe I still have to protest this shit, which I think sentiments widely range the same across the entire crowd. There are signs, you know, that were pro-choice, that are pro-environmentalism, that are pro-immigration, pro-Black Lives Matter. And, you know, obviously the hashtag Me Too was seen throughout throughout the march. So it was powerful and it was moving, and it's you know, one of the reasons I moved out to Denver. I feel like people in this area generally are very passionate, and I wanted to get involved in that community. And over the last year, I've just become more educated in general. In 2017, when the Women's March first happened, I had an acquaintance who flew all the way from Detroit, where I just moved from, Detroit to Washington, D.C., and she marched in the first Women's March, and I didn't know anything about it at that point. And I saw her pictures, and I saw her sign, and I didn't know how to feel, like, one way or another, and I was a little bit conflicted, just like I was, you know, back in, like, 2016 when riots against police brutality really started happening and caught my attention, and I didn't know how to feel about those either. So over this last year, I really made a effort to meet people I've never met before. I've never met a transgendered person in the military or a veteran. That was eye-opening. At the white supremacy march, I met an undocumented immigrant. I had never spoken to one before. And it's just, I think it's important to expand your horizons. And and all interests were represented at the march. It was very moving.
Which I guess makes sense. It's if you're having a movement about, you know, in support of women or a women's cause march, women do care about...
Women's rights are human rights.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, and it's and true. And women also care about all the same things that all humans do as well.
You should care. As a human, you should have some basic human rights.
So your, I guess, broad scope or your outlook on the world has been evolving over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been brought on by just reading more.
Yeah.
Or being more engaged online and realizing that there's a lot of assholes online, or...
Yeah, paying attention and letting people share their stories without silencing them with your, like, wall of bias and your own feelings. I've said plenty of things to people, and, you know, in our conversations that now I look back and I'm like, you know, I was definitely wrong. But there has to be a willingness to learn and to be wrong, and to open yourself up to new experiences and new ideas. And I think that, you know, growing up very, 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 very conservative Christian, you know, your beliefs are your beliefs, and you regurgitate, you know, the things that you've been indoctrinated with, and you know exactly how you're gonna, you know, what you're gonna say against abortion. You know what you're gonna say, even against this Black Lives Matter movement. Like, it's all very much the same and follows a script. So, you know, breaking through everything I was taught as a child to try and figure out what really was going on in the world and what's been the truth. And that's what I've been chasing, really, you know, since I moved to Michigan in 2010. But definitely this last year, yeah, I've and that is also due in part to one of my coworkers, and my day job. She had a Black Lives Matter sticker on the back of her laptop, and she attended protests. She was at the airports protesting. She wouldn't really talk about her beliefs because she knew that in general she probably would get shut down for them. So obviously that intrigued me more, and we went out for drinks, and I was like, please tell me, like, I want to know what you think. And for a long time she wouldn't, but then eventually she did open up, and you know, I didn't even know some of these arguments existed or that people felt this way. So yeah, it's just searching and digging and showing up, just showing up at some of these rallies and listening to what these people have to say, even if you eventually don't agree with them. Just show up and shut up and listen and be open. So
you brought up the point. So you mentioned, hey, when I first heard about the Women's March, I was conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure what it was all about. And, you know, I had to look into it. I would think, as a woman, I am not, that you would see something in support of women and it would be a no-brainer. I don't care what it's about, I'm in. And but do you think that your thought process behind that or your hesitation is fairly similar to a lot of women out there?
This is a beautiful question. I really love it. And I would like to preface what I'm about to say with, I love everybody that's in my life, and I had an amazing upbringing. I'm adopted. My parents are my angels. However, I was brought up in an extremely conservative Christian household, and the majority of my life, through when I moved from Detroit to Denver, I just moved to Denver this year, yay, there have always been authoritative male figures in my life who tell me how to think, how to vote, how to act, what to wear, what to say, what not to post on Facebook, what to do, like every step of the way, men have told me what to do. And that's not to say that I am an extremely independent individual, and I am louder than most and sometimes more obnoxious than most. But growing up the way that I did, it's kind of a wives are subject to their husbands, which I have been married before. And when I was getting married, I, you know, I'm just going to say they as like a, my religion, you know, sat down and said, all right, you're going to get married. And, you know, we need to read this portion in the Bible where it says that women are subject to their husbands. And I immediately was like, well, why can't my husband be subject to me? And it's like, well, that's closer to godliness. You know, we are made in the likeness of God, and men are closer to God, and where are their servants? And, you know, I never subscribed to that.
Didn't
quite fit into that. Yeah. So, I'm not claiming like a victim card. I'm not claiming anything like that. It's just that's how it was. Yeah. And when I could first vote, I wanted to vote for Obama. I was really excited that we were going to have a black president. And I was told, well, if that's the only reason that you wanted to be president, then you're stupid. Obviously, I had other reasons, but I really wanted to vote for Obama, and I was told not to. So I didn't. And I'm ashamed of that. And then in the next election, I didn't know who to vote for. I wanted to vote for Obama again. That's what I wanted to do. And I had just moved to Michigan, and I was, you know, really trying to have my own opinions and do what I wanted and come out of my shell. And still the, you know, authoritative voice is what you know. You have to vote with the Republicans, because voting with Republicans is voting with God. And you can understand how, as a, you know, a young girl, that is extremely, well, I can't vote against God. I can't, you know, it's God. What do I do? So I didn't vote. And coming into this next election with Trump and Hillary, I still was not registered to vote in Michigan. I was still being told that I couldn't vote for Hillary, that I needed to vote for Trump, that, you know, Hillary was evil. And I am so ashamed. But once again, I did not vote. And granted, this next election, I will be voting. but I don't really know how to say, like, it was a struggle, because it is a struggle. Like, if I could talk for hours of, you know, about the way that, well, both of us, the religion that we grew up in, I could, but I will save that for a different podcast. But it is very much women are told what to do. And I know that your experience as a man in that religion is a little bit different, but.
Sure. So the next question is, so what happens if, you know, I don't know you from Adam and Eve. Horrible, maybe.
That was really good. That's funny. But, yeah.
You know, let's say I come up and I say, look, like, you still had the decision. You still could have. That's what a ballot box is for. So why didn't you just be strong and do it? What would you say to that? Because I think I could probably answer that question, but I'm leading.
Okay. So have you ever been in an abusive relationship?
No.
Have you ever had an individual assert dominance over you for an extended period of time? That can be both mentally or emotionally and physically.
Well, I was in the army for 7 years.
So. In a relationship, okay. Have you ever?
No, I have not.
Have you ever experienced domestic abuse?
No.
Okay. Not likening our religion or our upbringing to domestic abuse. However, if you have not experienced situations in your life where you have faced another individual asserting dominance over you, it is going to be very hard to understand how long it takes to get out of that thinking. I have also been in an abusive relationship, and as God is my witness, I still don't know how I ended up in that relationship. I had just gotten divorced. I was in this relationship for 2 years. And it was getting to the point where physical violence was gonna be imminent. Like, there was threats against me and threats against my family. And you have to carefully and slowly you know, get out of that. And it was kind of the same survival mentality when I was leaving the religion that I had known my entire life. You are losing your friends. You could possibly, because they do teach that, you know, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. And they teach the same thing. If there's a person in your family that's not, you know, following this religion, this makes me really emotional, that they could, you know, cut ties with you, basically excommunicate you. Yeah. And,
that has not been the case.
It has not been the case. Thank goodness. But as a 19-year-old girl living alone in Michigan with no family, you know, for miles around, it's still hard to, become your own woman and become your own person. So, that's one of the reasons that I moved away, because it was time, and it took me longer than I still would like to admit to find my own voice. But as the beautiful quote says, I will not be losing it.
Yeah. So I think the overall point of that as well, because I can see you getting emotional about it. This is not a unique
situation. My experience is not unique.
Sadly.
This happens to women everywhere, which is another reason that the Me Too movement has been so strong and people have come out of the woodwork, so to speak. And I've seen, you know, some absolutely ridiculous comments from men saying, we're tired of hearing about this. And, you know, we feel really sad and it makes us uncomfortable. Well, how do you think we felt being sexually assaulted like our entire lives? So sorry you feel a little bit uncomfortable with this being brought to life. But yeah, it's just another reason that this women's movement, it's a movement. It's not a moment. It's not one march or two marches. And it's the hashtag power to the polls. Like, it's taking it all the way up. It's women getting seats in legislature. It's minorities still representing themselves in the way that they need to be represented, because clearly across history that has not happened. Like, just because we earned the right to vote, and I say that laughingly, we earned it, you know, it wasn't our God-given gift, doesn't mean that fight is over. It's clearly not over. And just because slavery was abolished doesn't mean it's gone. It doesn't mean that fight is over either. So these are, in general, some of the things that were also echoed at the march.
So the passion in which you talk about your upbringing and your just unfortunately non-unique, whatever that word is, I'm struggling.
Common.
7:50 in the morning. But that is why there is the support that's there. I think we make, okay, dare I go here on a limb and have a joke about women here very quickly. But what I saw at a Denver's march, women's march, was a huge group of women and men. And yes, even on the train,
that was going, beautiful to see.
Even on the train going down to the city, there was, you know, two seats behind us, there's a group of 60-year-old women, you know, just all sitting around and giggling. And
that's when the signs, now you've pissed off grandma, come into play.
And then a seat behind or in front of us was a group of like 15-year-old girls doing the same exact thing, all around giggling and whatever. And
talking about boys and.
Because that's what all girls do.
That's what teenage girls do.
I think we can make the joke that sometimes women are rather catty to one another. Sometimes.
Yes, we can be.
Yes. But in this case, there was a huge support system.
Mm-hmm. Commonality and community. And you could feel that the moment the first person walked up to you that you also knew was getting on that train and going to the march. It was an immediate hello. How are you doing? The train is this way. And she led us across the tracks and, you know, told us what the right train was. It was welcome.
So it's
immediately.
I guess it's encouraging to see I feel like a group that, and there's comedians that make these jokes all the time. If women only just supported women, you would rule the world. Mm-hmm. But there is, I think, sometimes this lack of, and I think the lack of support, it doesn't necessarily come from just, you know,
it's competition.
She's the bitch.
It's what it is.
Is it? It's got to be an evolutionary, like, yeah, competition.
Oh, and it's also perpetrated by our culture. by industry, like makeup, for example. You've got to be prettier. You've got to have smooth skin. You know, you got to get lip fillers because apparently your natural lips aren't good enough for you. You have to dye your hair. Like, God forbid you have a gray hair show up. You have to straighten your hair. Can't be curly. You have to curl your hair. Can't be straight. You need to lose weight. You need to gain weight. You're too skinny. Eat a hamburger. Eat a steak. You need to eat some vegetables. So yeah, it's competition, and it unfortunately seeps into how we look at each other. Like, she's not very pretty. We can't hang out with her. You can't sit with us. So yeah.
So
also breaking that cycle of thinking is
on top of that cycle. Then you have, let's say you continued what you were doing through your childhood to mm-hmm. today.
Oh yeah.
That's a whole nother.
Sure is.
But I think it's maybe the religious stance is a bit more, what's the word? And I say this with air quotes, justified, because it's in the name of something.
Yes.
But however, that's a whole nother alienated group.
Yes.
Because what's the difference that's really separating, and we don't need to get into this complete topic today, but what's really separating someone like you who is speaking for the advancement of women in society and politics and having a voice at the table from an evangelical woman or a Christian,
yeah.
I should say conservative Christian woman. The huge dividing line is the pro-life, pro-choice argument.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, that's sort of it. Because what I find is that someone like you and that person want the same exact thing.
Who I used to be.
You do want to have a family. You
yeah.
do want to have a career. You do mm-hmm. want to do what's, it's not even the career. It's the, mm-hmm. you just want to do what makes you passionate.
Yeah.
And God bless you. If having a family and having kids makes you.
And being a stay-at-home mother, like that's all my mother wanted to do.
If that's what makes you passionate, I'm not going to say you need to do something different or anything. You just.
You do you.
Sure. But there is this dividing line. It's, mm-hmm. and again, just like you can. Young women can look at someone who's got the good career or maybe isn't as pretty or whatever the deal is and be catty. There's also that division as mm-hmm. well. I just feel like maybe, and this is maybe a horrible analogy, but in the men's community, the male community, I think it's obviously more dominance driven and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But there is, I'm sure there's rifts as well, but it's just a different.
I mean, you guys just duke it out with your fists.
You can say it's sort of apples and oranges, mm-hmm. so it's maybe a hard analogy to make.
And you have sports. Not that we don't have sports, but.
You do have sports.
You have
So what?
Sometimes more violence.
So sports. How do we work on bridging that gap? That it's like, you said you were conflicted about this women's march. And
it was.
I think I've seen people and observed people with that I know in the broader community that says, we're conflicted about this women's march, or we don't support it because there's a lot of pro-life or there's a lot of pro-choice people there. And that's something we don't. So how do you take those women and say, no, it's not just about that.
Hush up. I think that in general, the only way to bridge the gap, mind the gap, sorry, try reference. And to get people to stop screaming at each other is to make them understand that just because you believe one way does not mean that someone has to believe and act that certain way. And I mean, just talk about Christianity really quickly and like crusades and, you know, taking over land and taking over people and spreading the gospel and spreading the good word and converting people to Christianity. Like this today, quit it, stop it. Like, I don't have to, if you don't believe in abortion and you would never get an abortion per se, good. Like, I'm happy for you. I'm really glad that you have those convictions. However, you cannot shove that ideology down my throat or anybody else's throat. You can't do it. You have to learn, as I have struggled and tried and pushed and pulled to learn how to love other people and accept other people and respect them for a position or a decision or an idea that I don't agree with. And you have to let that be. If you are on opposite sides of the table, you can't try to change somebody so that they become like you, you have to accept them and love them for their differences. And honestly, growing up in elementary school, when our teachers were trying to teach us what a melting pot was and why it was okay that the person sitting next to you is black and brown and every other color, like, and that was what made America great. That's what brought us together. I was taught that in elementary school, and it is not like that today. Today, it's division and separation, and I'm better than you, and my thoughts are better than yours, and you're stupid, and you're this, and you're that. Like, no. Like, can we bring back what we were being taught in elementary school? Like, where, I don't understand where that's gone. And it's the exact same thing with any of these issues that we're, you know, we're marching for. It's abortion and taking care of the environment. Like, don't even get me started on drilling and offshore drilling, Alaska drilling, drilling underneath houses in Stapleton, apparently, is being proposed.
That's Stapleton, Colorado. That's
without people knowing.
That's the suburbs.
You know, immigration, Black Lives Matter, sexual harassment, all of this stuff. Like, it doesn't matter what side of the table you land on. You cannot stop listening to the other side just because you don't agree with them. And that's the only way that we're gonna move forward, or at least understand each other.
So it isn't as much, because we can have fundamental disagreements, and unfortunately not everyone can sit down and have long conversations as they should, or sit down in a coffee shop and say, why do you scapegoat illegal immigrants?
That is also very difficult for women to do, which brings up the same thing of, like, why are you guys catty? Is because men in general, you are brought up differently. Like, we're given pink dolls, and one of my favorite toys growing up was a kitchen where I washed dishes and I prepared food. And I had a little iron that I, you know, walked around the house after we did have a cleaning lady, walked around the house after a cleaning lady, and also, like, learned how to clean. Like, that's the majority of toys that I grew up playing with, like Barbies and playing house. And my brother obviously had G.I. Joes and Legos, and we give boys boy toys and doctor kits. And why don't we do that for girls? Like, there's a girl, her name's Mary Beth. She lives back in Detroit, and she's raising this beautiful little boy named Henry. Hey guys. And one of the pictures that she just posted recently over the holidays was her little boy carrying a baby doll that was dressed in pink and said, Henry loves his baby doll. And I can just imagine people jumping on, you know, if they didn't know Mary Beth, and saying, you're gonna make your son gay. That's terrible. You should not let him play with baby dolls. But, like, the same thing with girls. Like, why aren't we giving them doctor kits? And if we do, why do they have to be pink? Like, my favorite color is blue. And that's another reason I didn't wear pink to the Women's March, because, I mean, and that's part of history. Like, those colors, blue used to be a girl's color, and pink used to be the boy's color. And our society switched that. And now it's associated with, you know, being weak and feminine, and it's not really a good thing. But, like, proud of you if you love pink, by the way. I don't really care. That was a tangent. But it's just that it's the point is that we are not raised to debate and to stand up for ourselves and to share our opinions, aka children should be seen and not heard. I can't tell you how many times I heard that growing up.
I did also hear that as well.
Well, you talk too much. No, I'm just kidding.
Very true.
But it, especially in a conservative household, we are not raised the same. Like, I tried to get my father, and again, I love him very much, but to talk to me about finances and investing. And the response I got was, that's not for you, princess. Your husband will worry about that one day. So it is hard for women sometimes to sit down and to have a conversation and not, you know, get our feathers ruffled. And it's something that I had to learn all over again once I became an adult.
So essentially what it is there is, for me, it was a, I don't want to, not a seamless transition, but there was an expectation of what I had to do, even going to college. Or university, getting a degree, starting a job, mm-hmm. like what I needed to do and what I did up until this point, barring a few colossal mistakes along the way, we're on track. 30 years old, Like, hey, I've done everything I need to do up to this point to just advance the ball down the road. Whereas if I or you, if we were, you know, in this similar situation,
I'm almost 30 years old and I don't have babies. I must be a crotchety old woman.
How dare you?
I know.
There would be, given in our similar situation, which is sort of false as well. I mean, my little sister has an awesome career, and we kind of came from, well, we came from the same background. But I think what you're saying is there's almost this, you're starting at a different starting point. And this isn't inherent for every female or in the United States and in the world.
And if you grew up in a progressive family and your parents treated you as if you and your brother were equal, awesome.
So, and I don't think that every, I think it's hard to generalize, but I think your experience is certainly...
What we're saying is my experience is not unique to me. It is common across women. It is also how our culture raises and views women versus men. And yes, I did have to fight for a living wage when I...
Well, you literally did fight for...
I did. I did do MMA for a while. That was actually one of the reasons I got a job even before I graduated college. I told them that I did MMA and they said, well, will you bring that same work ethic and tenacity into the work, you know, from the cage into your work? And I was like, well, of course, that's who I am. Why would you even ask me that question? But there was a time when I sat down and I had read all the statistics about women not being as good of negotiators as men and about women being paid less and women this and women that. And I went into that office and I was determined to get, you know, what I was asking for. And I'm not going to tell you which employer this is because I'm not trying to throw anybody under the rug. However, there was a time in some negotiations not too long ago where I asked for a raise and it was a substantial raise, which I deserved with, you know, all my internships and my degree and my work experience, et cetera. And I was immediately asked why I needed the money because I had a boyfriend that makes more money than I do, and that can support me. So why do I need a raise? And I can, he's across the table. he's smiling like because I'm sure you cannot imagine the amount of restraint it took for me to look back at this person across the table in a professional manner and explain why I deserved a pay raise. And thankfully there was somebody else in the, one of my other bosses in the room that also about spit their coffee out when that question was proposed to me. And they just, I mean,
he's thinking
just, this could be such a big lawsuit right now. Woo. But like just the fact that I had to even answer that question, like, well, and this was like 2016 maybe, or
I certainly wouldn't be asked that question.
You would never be asked that question. You would, and there are some cases and some women that I know that have asked for pay raises and they were denied because they didn't have a family to support. And there were some men that asked for the same raise that were given the raise because they have a family to support. And I'm sorry, but if I am going to push a child out of my body after carrying it for 9 months, you better be damned that I am also just as entitled to the same amount of pay, the same, and by the way, men, if you want to have time off for paternity leave, you are also definitely entitled to that. But if it is not the same across the board, like, you better believe I'm going to be one person that's going to stand up and say, hey, this is not right. This is not fair. Like, it's my child. And just because I have a child, like, that doesn't exclude me from getting a pay raise versus a man who, quote unquote, will spend more time at work. Especially now I work from home. I get up, I'm open my laptop at 8 a.m. Sometimes I forget to stop working until it's like 10 or 11. So, there's just so many stereotypes I would love to shoot down, but we only have so much time.
We do because we have to go to work.
We do.
Unfortunately, I appreciate you coming on and I hope that we can have some longer discussions about specific topics, but I just wanted to open it up.
I would love to dive deeper into abortion.
and environmentalism.
Oh, definitely.
All right, just we'll go back. I think the first podcast John and I ever did, two white guys, and we just dove into abortion. We like first one, like, well, if we're gonna do a podcast, we might as well pick the most controversial topics that two white guys shouldn't have any. Well, that everyone can talk about anything. However, expertise. The only expertise I can have is like a little bit of medical expertise.
Yeah. But, that is the first op-ed I read from Mod State, which is why I decided that at least some of y'all might be okay. Was the piece on abortion. So yeah. If you guys haven't read that, you should go find that and you should read it. Wow. And give us a little feedback.
You can find out who wrote that article.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I do appreciate you coming on and you have a spot. Whenever you want, as always. I'm sure there are like-minded individuals out there, and I'm sure like-minded listeners. Would you be willing to share your social media, or where can people get in touch with you?
Sure.
Active on Twitter.
Now I am active on Twitter. My handle is just Sarah Goodlaxon. Would you like me to spell that?
Yes.
Sarah with an H. S-A-R-A-H. G-O-O-D, as in good. L-A-X, as in the airport. And S-O-N, as in sun. Good, cool. Lax, sun.
I don't know if we just did you a disservice or a service.
My father was my adopted... Well, he's my father, but his family's from Norway. They were the Gulliksons there.
Hmm.
They tried to Americanize my last name, and they failed miserably.
They sort of did.
They put an X in there.
Huh. Yeah, it works. Well, thanks for... coming on, anything you want to add before we hit the FU button? It's a goodbye button.
Hashtag me too.
Okay, cool. With that, we appreciate you tuning in. We'll be back this week for regular Friday and then weekend beat episodes as well. So you'll unfortunately all get to hear my lovely voice again. But thank you for coming on, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
So until next time, we'll see you.